Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Thursday, April the 20th. And in studio with me is Fred Jackson. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim.
Welcome back from a little short vacation trip.
It was nice. Nice to be off for a few days.
You know, went down to the beach, did you?
I love going to the beach.
Yeah, me
too.
I was born
on the ocean, the Atlantic right. Ocean, and love right. to get near the water.
Yeah, me too. Just something soothing to the soul about
it is.
Just looking at the water like that. Isn't
nothing
it?
Like the sunrises and sunsets over mm-hmm. over the water. It was beautiful.
All right, Gulf Coast, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right, Chris Woodward, good morning.
Good morning.
Anything serene about our studio that you...
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
But you don't just come in here and sit and look at it for like we do the ocean.
Oh, I do. At the end of every day when everybody else has gone home, I come in here for a time of reflection
yeah.
and gratefulness because I've been here almost 13 years now, and it's
Chris,
been a real blessing.
You've been hanging around Tim Wildman too much, man. Just cut. You don't have to joke about everything.
Turn the lights down okay? low.
Ray Pritchard, how you doing, Brother Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great, Tim. There's nothing serene here. I was awakened in the middle of the night with thunder and lightning and heavy rain. That's all passed through, but I like that serene stuff Fred was talking about. We could use some here.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like Fred. I just love the beach. Now, some people are mountain people.
Mm-hmm.
Some people beach people. Well, I'm a beach person like you, Fred. I just love going, and even if I don't go in the water, just go look at the water.
Yeah.
Even if it's a lake or especially the beach, it's just something soothing to the soul. So you had to, sadly, Ray, all joking aside, they had weather south of you that was deadly overnight, right?
Yeah, the town of Cole, McLean County, it's about 25 miles south Oklahoma City. Unfortunately, two people died. In those tornadoes that occurred overnight. More bad weather occurring today across the central part of the country. So it's just that time of the year.
Yep.
That clash of cold air from the north, southern breezes warm, and they get together and they create this kind of
mm-hmm.
havoc.
Mm-hmm. We're supposed to have some of that tomorrow evening.
Yes, sir.
Where we live. So, Ray, you got travels coming up? You got any more speaking engagements?
I am here now for about a month, maybe a little bit more than a month. This is the longest period in the whole year when I'm going to be home. We got back just recently from a trip to Chicago just over the weekend, board meeting up there. And so now we're here for a while until early June. Pretty happy about it because we've been traveling a lot the last few months.
All right, Christopher.
Yes.
What is leading the news this morning?
Well, I wanted to kick today's program off by mentioning some things that have happened here in the last 24 hours or so in the state of Mississippi. Governor Tate Reeves signed a series of bills yesterday that aim to promote the pro-life culture here in the state of Mississippi. We've got about seven or eight pro-life measures. These would do things like strengthen the adoption system here in Mississippi in a post-Roe v. Wade world. It would also increase support for tax credits for people that give to pregnancy resource centers and does some things to promote and protect foster children as well. I have some audio from Governor Tate Reeves talking at yesterday's bill signings. Clip one.
Today is a wonderful celebration of life. Almost a year ago, Mississippi led the way to the greatest conservative win in my lifetime, the overturning of Roe versus Wade. While I'm extremely proud of the role that Mississippi played in this monumental victory, winning a court case was never our true objective. Rather, the objective was to build a culture of life throughout our state and throughout our nation. Today, in Mississippi, we are leading the way in advancing support for moms and for babies. The legislation I am signing today is further proof that when it comes to protecting life, Mississippi isn't just talking the talk. We're actually walking the walk.
That's Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi signing several pieces of the legislation yesterday, which you outlined, Chris. But Mississippi certainly is, if not the, is one of the leading pro-life states in the country. So it's a proud moment for the Magnolia State.
And also for the ministry itself. AFA Action, the political arm of American Family Association, which Walker Wildman helps run, and our very own Dr. Jamison Taylor, they were instrumental in making sure these things were discussed by legislators and got passed by legislators. Jamison Taylor was there yesterday at the bill signing.
So we commend Governor Reeves and the legislature for getting this done, passing these laws. All right, next story.
Let's go from Mississippi to Florida, where
that's what Fred just did.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I'm gonna take us there mentally. We're gonna travel from Mississippi to Florida, where the Board of Education there yesterday decided to expand things in the parental rights and education law to all of K through 12 schools. Last year, Governor DeSantis made headlines when he signed the Parental Rights in Education bill into law. That was the thing that prevented discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity for students K through 3. Yesterday, the State Board of Education decided to expand that policy to K through 12. And it's going to prevent the discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity in classrooms unless otherwise authorized by statute. So you might be able to discuss those kinds of things in, say, health class, but the band hall instructor can't bring it up, or the math teacher, stuff like
that. Now, is this, again, in Florida, is this, so this was a State Board of Education measure, not a legislative not a law that was signed by Governor DeSantis.
Correct.
But he, does he appoint the board of...
I think he does have a say in some of these board members.
Well, Florida... So, Ray, what Florida's done here is they've said in any of our public school classrooms, unless, as Chris said, unless otherwise authorized, such as, I guess, I don't know, a health class or biology class, I don't know where you might run into this, that the kids aren't going to be exposed to gender identity talk or what's the other one?
Sexual orientation.
Sexual orientation talk. You know, we've had many cases around the country where public schools have been used to indoctrinate children and young people towards this lifestyle, towards this behavior, and the parents don't even know what's going on. And I think that, Ray, that's what Florida said. We're not going to do that here.
You know, Tim, in some of his speeches, Governor DeSantis has a great line. He says, Florida is where woke goes to die. Mm-hmm. And the difference between Ron DeSantis and a lot of other political leaders is he actually means it. It's one thing to have that slogan, which is, you know, gets a lot of applause.
Right.
But he is backing it up. And I just got to say, I don't think there's any state in the union that's doing more to fight back against this woke nonsense than what Florida is doing. And it wouldn't be possible without the legislature, but that wouldn't happen without the leadership of the governor. And he is just racking up victory after victory. So to these other red state governors, if you want to know how to do it, take a look at what Governor DeSantis is doing in the and the legislature is doing there in Tallahassee. Good for them all the way across the board.
I do have some audio of Governor DeSantis. This was yesterday. He made the trip out of state. He went to South Carolina for his tour around the country. Right. He's been going around the country to talk to people that might be interested in his politics. Right. But speaking in South Carolina, Governor DeSantis said, we're not doing woke stuff anymore in schools in Florida. Clip 3.
Yeah, one of the things we're doing, you know, we're just nixing this whole idea of a teacher saying, choose your pronouns. Like, we never used to do that. So we're just not going to do it in Florida schools. And we're going to do normal school like everyone did for the whole history of our country until like 2 hours ago.
I just tell you, Governor DeSantis, I know there are some people advising him that, wait a minute, you're going too far into this, quote, culture war stuff, and you need to back off because you want to, if you're going to run for president, you want to win independents and moderates and women, and you can't do it if you go too much pro-life or too much, you know, they're gonna present you as anti-LGBT. And so far, he's just said, of course, he hasn't announced yet that he's going to run for president. But so far, in everything that he's said in response to critics like that, or that I've seen, has been just like what you heard. Mm-hmm. And that he's been very direct and to the point. He's taken the position, and he said that this is the right thing to do. It's reasonable. And this, and furthermore, I've been elected governor. He was overelected. He was reelected overwhelmingly recently.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
And I heard him speak, as I mentioned before, in February. And he said, listen, when I became governor, I learned what my powers were as chief executive officer of the state. And I'm going to use them. And he said, I don't do a lot of, I don't do polling before I, you know, decide what to support. In other words, if it's going to cost me, that's what he said.
Yep.
He doesn't, in other words, he doesn't stick his finger in the wind and go, I wonder which way I need to go on this one. He just says, we go with what's the right thing to do. What's the, yep. Abide by the Constitution of the state of Florida and the United States Constitution. And we go for it.
Yeah, one of the things I did on my vacation was start to read his book, The Courage to Be Free.
Come on, Governor DeSantis, I've got that too.
Yeah, and you'll learn a little bit more about him. Grew up blue-collar area, Dunedin, Florida, loved baseball, ended up going to Yale, eventually Harvard Law School, paid his way through, did odd jobs, all of that sort of thing. He's an interesting character. Whether you know,
served in the Navy too.
Served in the Navy, exactly. In JAG,
right?
And then decided to run. But I'll tell you what's interesting about him. He's not going to be dictated by what other states are doing, what the norm is, and he really made his mark when he rebelled against Dr. Fauci and the CDC experts on COVID.
Right.
That's where he decided, no, I'm not following that. In fact, basically he said, I'm not going to turn Florida into Fauciville. He used that term, Fauciville. And so that's where he made his mark.
He said a biomedical police state, too.
Yes.
He also said.
And because of all he did with COVID, he got elected by more than 1 million votes in last fall's election, a margin.
That was one of the reasons. Yeah.
One of the reasons. The other, the school thing. Now, I don't know if he looked at what happened in Virginia a few years ago and saw that parents taking back schools was the right way to go. I think he believes that. And that's why you just heard the expansion of this. He doesn't believe in a school system. He doesn't believe in a school system that is set up to indoctrinate kids on leftism, on socialism, on communism.
He understands. If you listen to him talk and you read his book, he understands the worldview clash that's going on here.
Yes.
There are some politicians and folks who talk about these issues, but they really don't understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he has a firm grasp of the right and wrong and the constitutionality and unconstitutionality and, the worldview clash here. So it's going to be interesting to see, Ray, whether or not, well, I don't think the momentum for Governor DeSantis in terms of, I say momentum, maybe that's not the right word. The, people are waiting to see whether he's going to announce he's going to run on the Republican side for the presidential nomination. And it's just almost a foregone conclusion that he is going to announce, and it'll be sometime in May.
Well, as you said, he just happened to go to South Carolina,
right?
One of the early Republican primary states. I know he's got this book, which, by the way, has just done super well on the New York Times bestseller list. He's a good author. He's a good leader. But look, he took on Disney, and he beat Disney. Nobody beats Disney, but he did. He forced them back. And God bless Ron DeSantis, because he's showing us that a governor who is willing to use the tools of power, use them directly and forcefully, and he's willing to make his case. And, Tim, the other thing I like about him, he doesn't back down. I don't even think he doesn't even seem to me when I listen to him, he doesn't even seem to me to get flustered by the opposition from the other side. He just goes ahead and
no, because when you believe what you say and you understand the foundation for what you believe, then you can speak confidently about issues and that you don't have to flinch or hesitate or say things that are double talk or something like that. Now, he's not a perfect man, Governor DeSantis. He's been a congressman, a U.S. congressman, I think, for 3 terms. He's been governor now for two. This is his second term. Mm-hmm. He's for first year into his second term. I'm sure he'll make mistakes along the way. We all do. But he is definitely a person who doesn't back down from what he believes is right and true. At least he hasn't demonstrated that to me yet. So we'll see what he does. Now, here's the thing that is going to have to happen. The Republican Party is going to have to decide, that is the primary voters, do we want to go with former President Trump, or do we want to go with Governor DeSantis, mm-hmm. or maybe somebody else, although they're long shots. Nikki Haley, the former governor of South Carolina, Tim Scott, who's not formally announced, but mm-hmm. exploring, senator from South Carolina, who's been on this program before. Mm-hmm. I love that guy. Mm-hmm. He does a wonderful job there in the United States Senate. Asa Hutchinson, the governor of Arkansas, I'm mentioning those who have announced, not those who, at this time at least, have a realistic sure. opportunity to win the nomination on the Republican side. But basically, it's shaping up at this point. And again, it's early. You got to remember, at this point, when was it, in 16, Jeb Bush, the former governor of Florida, was leading the Republican in polling. You remember that?
Please clap.
Yeah. Why is that?
That's so that
not low
Jeb.
Energy?
That was Jeb.
Please clap. But you remember, what I'm saying is we're kind of way early on these polls because we're a long way from the primaries. Now, you do have a Republican debate coming up in August mm-hmm. in Wisconsin?
Milwaukee, I believe.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. But I've been keeping up with this, and the polling now, for what it's worth, it's a snapshot in time. It could change next week. It could change 2 weeks from now. Who knows? Things happen. They happen fast. But former President Trump, is leading in the Republican primaries almost across the board.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But Governor DeSantis he can see where President Trump is. If you're using a race as an analogy, mm-hmm. he can. President Trump's running ahead of him, but he can see him, mm-hmm. and everybody else is way back in the pack right now.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see when Governor DeSantis announces, will he catch up with Donald Trump?
Yeah, and I think so far DeSantis getting a lot of praise for what he's been doing in Florida.
And a lot of criticism from the left. But
you know what? Yeah, I think you said him. He doesn't put his finger to the wind and see, okay, what's politically correct. And he doesn't care what the mainstream media says about him. He is not going to be dictated by that kind of public adversity. He's not.
Yeah. I'll tell you where... Okay. I'll tell you where President Trump has made a mistake in this so far, and he may change. President Trump may change. But President Trump has decided he was going to go after Governor DeSantis with the name calling, mocking him, and I don't think that's going to work like it did in 2000. Remember, in 2016, that's when President Trump, then candidate Trump, said, you know what? Low energy Jeb. Mm-hmm. Lying Ted Cruz. My wife's prettier than yours. Remember that picture? Mm-hmm. Then he went with
Little Marco.
Little Marco. My hands are bigger than Marco's.
I felt insulted by that.
I mean, he went with that sort of attack of everybody else, and he personalized it, and it kind of worked for him, and he separated himself from the field. I think other dynamics were at place here. People were ready for an outsider, and President Trump did a just masterful job of just walking through the primaries and capturing the imagination of Republican voters, and, of course, he went on to win the presidency by taking Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, basically, which Republican candidates have to be able to do if you're going to win enough Electoral College votes. But that's not working right now with Republican voters in terms of Trump attacking DeSantis, especially calling him Governor de Sanctimonious. In fact, the other day, Trump said he was mocking DeSantis for fighting Disney. You remember that? You saw that? So I just don't think that helps President Trump. I really don't. I think actually it hurts him. I talked to a number of people who said, I love what President Trump did, but I'm getting tired of his attacks on Governor DeSantis because they're the same support base. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know whether Trump's going to keep these attacks up on DeSantis. I'm sure DeSantis will probably start firing back at President Trump himself. He'll have to if Governor DeSantis announces. So did I say anything right there that was not accurate or was unfair?
No, I think it's a straight-up assessment of what's going on right now. And DeSantis, because of what he's doing in Florida, the battle has been fighting down there against political correctness. And we're now seeing on the national stage what Republicans did this morning in the House in Washington. They passed by 219 to 203 a Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. All right? And it was led by Congressman Greg Stube of Florida. So there you have it. This is going to be a winning issue for Republicans. Ron DeSantis understands this. Republicans in the House understand this. By the way, it was a party line vote. Not one Democrat wants to protect women's sports. Not one. And this is what this was all about. This is going to be a winning issue. It was a winning issue in Virginia a few years ago, and it's going to be a winning issue for Republicans. I haven't heard Trump say much about this. I think he's got to get with...
Oh, he has. He has.
Yeah.
He has spoken out on this.
Yeah. Yeah. But I tell you what...
On the women in sports. I mean, he has spoken out. Yeah.
But as far as being a leader in this and putting his money where his mouth is, DeSantis has done that in Florida. And I tell you what, I think as time goes on, I think DeSantis is going to announce within 4 weeks.
And then the race is going to tighten up.
To Tim's point, Trump did say in 2022 that we will, quote, ban men from participating in women's sports, he told a rally in Conroe, Texas.
Yeah, he has spoken out on that issue. All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. We will be back from the break. And we'll continue on with more topics and stories to cover. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ray, Fred, and Chris, we'll see you back here in a minute.
When you hear this, This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness. And may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stern. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Medical students at the University of Texas Southwestern are learning that gender is fluid, as in there's no such thing as a real man or a real woman. It's a radical gender ideology that embraces the great societal lie that there are more than two genders. The average American may be completely unaware of the ferocity of the LGBT activist on this issue. And Washington state lawmakers passed a bill that would allow the government to step in and remove children from the homes of parents who oppose gender reassignment surgeries. All of this as the nation debates boycotting businesses using transgender performer Dylan Mulvaney to endorse their products. It truly is an all-out war on traditional values. God made XX and XY. You are either one or the other. Accessorizing with a feather boa won't make one bit of difference. I'm Todd Stearns.
You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13.
American Family Radio.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray. Hey, I just want to say one other thing. Well, this won't be the only thing, but about going forward here, because Ray, because our listeners are conservative folks, and most everybody listening to me right now votes Republican primaries, not everybody, but we're going to, by necessity, have to talk about Trump versus DeSantis. It's unavoidable. And it's like talking about two friends, right? And you don't want to be disrespectful of one or the other. But at the same time, we have an obligation to tell you the truth, as far as we can tell, about what's going on. Ray, would you?
100%. That's true. We are a conservative radio network. Everybody knows that.
Right.
Most of our listeners.
We don't hide it well.
That's right. No, we don't really try to hide it.
No, no.
So most of our listeners, great majority of them, are conservative to one degree or another, and they're very interested in politics. We were quite supportive of President Trump when he was in office, and we've tried to give good coverage to him. But now this is a contested primary. It's not like we're not up against Joe Biden for second term yet. That hasn't happened. So it's wide open. We've got to cover Mr. Trump, but we also have to cover Ron DeSantis. I think everybody agrees to him. It's going to come down to those two men. And Ron DeSantis has got to, he's got to go up on that debate stage and stand up against Donald Trump, who is very, very good in that particular format, that venue. He's got to do it. He's got to earn his spurs, so to speak, that way. But I think Tim, we're just trying to call it the way we see it, including the fact that we do highly approve of the things that he's done, Mr. DeSantis, as the governor of Florida.
Yeah. So I wish it would be a little more civil right now from the Trump side. I know that's how he fights and how he operates, but I just don't. I think it actually hurts him when he throws these barbs at Governor DeSantis. If I were advising President Trump, not that anybody can, but I would tell him, look, if you say you put Governor DeSantis over the top in his first governor's race, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, Fred, you said reading Governor DeSantis's book, he's highly complimentary of President Trump, right?
He thanks President Trump for endorsing him in that first time that when he ran for governor.
So he acknowledges that.
He acknowledges that. He said, I went to Trump, I could use your endorsement for this and this and this. And Trump said, yes, go for it. So he praises Trump.
Okay, well, see, here, this is the way Trump describes it. He came crying to me, begging me to endorse him. You see how that?
Yeah.
All President Trump needs to say, here's what he needs to say. Listen, I endorse Governor DeSantis. I'm glad he won. I'm glad I was able to help him win.
Yes.
He's gone on to be a highly successful governor.
Yeah.
And so he's one of my golden boys.
Yeah.
So, and I look forward to him being president one day, but not this time around because I'm going to run again and I'm going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that wouldn't turn off anybody.
No.
Everybody would say, good for you, President Trump.
How gracious.
That's classy.
Yes.
And he could take credit for DeSantis' success.
Yes.
In a way that's friendly.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Instead of saying Governor DeSanctimonious and he's a groomer of teenage girls and all this stuff that only hurts Trump among voters. So we'll see what happens here. You know, as I was saying, a leopard doesn't change his spots.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were advising President Trump, I'd say, back off the personal attacks and just go with your record.
Look, I agree with you, Tim, but he is a New York street fighter. He only knows one style, apparently. I mean, I agree 100% with the advice that you would give him. Do I think he's going to change his ways? I don't think so.
Okay. All right. But if this were reversed, I wonder how Mr. Trump would accept. If Governor DeSantis says, I'm not going to respond to Fat Donnie,
mm-hmm.
how would that be received?
It would not work.
Okay. It would not work. Why? What do you mean work?
It just wouldn't work if Ron DeSantis did that. Trump did that so much in 2016. We're used to it. Now we understand he's in attack mode, especially when he thinks somebody's coming after him. An attack mode, street fight, you know, the old rule of a knife fight. There are no rules. And I think that's how Trump approaches these things.
All right. We got a guest, don't we?
We do.
Go ahead.
We sure do. Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times, heard right here on American Family Radio on Saturday at 1 p.m. Central and Sunday at 12 noon. And Jan joins us now from the Twin Cities. Jan, good morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right. And I'm not going to ask you about the weather.
Thank you.
No.
It's always winter in Minnesota.
We just wish that your snow shoveling is all over for at least this winter.
I can't respond positively, so I'm going to be quiet.
We are the hospitality state, so you're always welcome to come south.
All right.
Don't come in August. We'll just warn you on that one.
Well, Jan, I know I listen to your program on the weekends, and one of the issues that you have addressed from time to time are the evils of the World Health Organization. And one of the big concerns right now is the reports have been out there. Michelle Bachmann has been talking about it on your program, and I've heard her on other networks too. And one of the things, one of the great concerns right now, not only Michelle Bachmann, but others, is that Biden, President Biden, may cede some of our sovereign powers when it comes to health policy to the World Health Organization. In other words, the WHO would be, if there was another pandemic, the WHO would be dictating to the United States what procedures we should follow.
Well, Fred, you're 100% right. Michelle is on air with me this coming weekend, and we're going to talk about this because, we're pretty blunt, and this comes out of her mouth, that this is leading to an effort at global government. Because, see, the World Health Organization would take the sovereignty away from 194 nations. WHO is an extension of the United Nations, of course. And it's a huge power grab. And, of course, the gentleman in charge, Mr. Tedros, is he's a corrupt Ethiopian communist doing the bidding of China 24/7. And this is what could take the place of our present health care system, but it could also take away American sovereignty. Now, this happened a year ago, and Michelle and others started sounding the alarm a year ago. But the country that stopped it in May of 2022 was Botswana. this isn't a done deal yet, because countries can step up and say absolutely no. But your listeners and my listeners need to go and call their representatives and senators and appeal to them to put a stop to this outrage.
Jan, why would Biden be willing to do this? Why would he be willing to give up sovereignty to the World Health Organization? I mean, a president of the United States, why would he say, okay, we're going to do what this body tells us to do?
I'm speculating, but at the same time, I think it's fairly obvious. First of all, the World Health Organization it's a part of the United Nations, but the World Health Organization answers mainly to China. My blunt answer is Joe Biden is a lackey of China, and I think everyone knows that because somehow he's been financially corrupted by China, and that's as obvious as the sun rising in the east. But this is just a corrupt stream of happenings that it's hard to believe that it's actually happening. I mean, it's so unbelievable. It's almost unbelievable, but I hate to tell you folks, it is reality. It's not a dream.
The other thing that I'm amazed by this, Jan, is I'm only hearing this talked about on conservative Christian radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody else
right.
is talking about this, and that's just amazing to me.
Fred, you're absolutely 100% right. Now, there have been some in Congress fighting on behalf of us here, including Senator Ron Johnson and including a representative from Arizona who's still in the fight. But you are right. Almost every media outlet is silent on this. Those in Washington aren't saying a whole lot. You don't see a primetime Fox News interviewing a couple of the representatives who are speaking out, or even interviewing Michelle Bachmann, who has sort of become almost a self-appointed spokesperson on behalf of we the people, knowing that our sovereignty could be ripped away. And this would be the end of May in Geneva, Switzerland, that all of this could take place in about a month, and that it could be playing, I'm not saying it is, but it could be playing into the biblical one-world government that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. So, thankfully, she's speaking, I'm speaking out. There are a few, but so few, who are saying anything.
Hey, it's Chris here. When an issue like this is in the news cycle, mainstream news outlets in particular will do what they call a fact check, and I'm using air quotes for people listening on the radio. The Associated Press is one example of a news outlet that does fact checks on this. And a few weeks ago, they did put out what they call a fact check on this claim that the World Health Organization is going to take over our sovereignty. Let me read to you a little bit of what the AP says and get your thoughts on it. According to the Associated Press, which a whole bunch of news outlets pay dearly to run, the AP says the voluntary treaty, which is in draft form and is still far away from ratification, does not overrule any nation's ability to pass individual pandemic-related policies. Multiple experts, including one involved in the draft process, told the Associated Press. And it goes on to say that the, quote, treaty lays out broad recommendations related to international cooperation on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. Nowhere in the 30-page document are lockdowns, closures, or specific citizen surveillance systems mentioned. What stood out to you there?
Well, quite frankly, I did, and I appreciate everything that you're saying there, Chris. I did a Google search on this in the last week, and anybody can go and do a Google search on what we're talking about. And what will come up will be 24 articles stating exactly that you just read. Basically, dozens of articles saying this is all nonsense. It's not true. It's not going to happen. But then you have to look at who's the writer of these articles. It's all the hard left in journalism. It's nobody who wants to tell the truth whatsoever. And then you might see in the Google listing, you might see, for instance, James Dobson featured this about a week ago. He did a two-part series with Michelle Bachmann. And so that is that. Thankfully, that comes up, so the truth is able to be found. But you've got to go through 20 links of untruths to come to the truth if you're going to search big tech, or if you're going to take the word of any of our popular media today, because they're all lying.
Jan, if you'd send us this, Tim, if you'd send us some information, we would get it out far and wide on this.
All right.
Yep. Some written information. I'd appreciate that very much.
We've been doing some stories on it.
Yeah, well, Fred, we can use that, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we want to encourage people to take action with their congressmen and senators.
And I encouraged Chad Groning yesterday. I talked with him at length to contact Michelle and just have her do an interview with you folks. And I'm sure she will do that so you can get it straight from her.
Yeah, we know Michelle, and she's a outstanding conservative Christian leader. Jan,
absolutely.
Jan Markell joining us from the great state of Minnesota. She is the host of Understanding the Times, which is heard Saturdays at 1 o'clock Central Time and Sundays at noon Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Jan Markell. Thanks, Jan. Take care.
Thank you. Goodbye now.
See you, Jan.
All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our email address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Next story, Chris.
Well, you remember a few weeks ago, if you'll recall, okay. As we have reported on the
FM. Listen, I'm a fellow Southerner. If you want to go, if you remember, I understand what you're saying. I was trying to translate for people around the country who don't understand how we can slur our words.
Recently, over there in San Francisco.
Out yonder, Chris.
Yeah. They had an event, and we talked about this on the show, where Riley Gaines was attacked and shouted down when she appeared on San Francisco State University's campus to talk about Title IX and stuff like that.
She's the swimmer.
She is the swimmer.
From the University of Kentucky, who was speaking out nationally about men playing women's sports. Mm.
Right. San Francisco State University is back in the news, and that is because they canceled an event on campus featuring Turning Point USA members. I have a couple of sound bites here. Turning Point USA contributor John Root commented on Fox and Friends First today about SFSU canceling a TPUSA event thereafter the Riley Gaines attack, clip 6.
There was an assault on Riley Gaines, and now there's an assault on free speech. And I think what we're seeing right now, too, is they actually are holding to their values, if their values are intolerance and fascism.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to vilify the TPUSA chapter, and that was a big reason we moved, is there was no assurance that the TPUSA chapter would not receive disciplinary action, and there was no assurance that the students that are part of that chapter wouldn't receive disciplinary action. And the last thing we want to see is people get hurt or turn into a situation where there's violence and it affects everybody that's involved.
This is a sign that on how much the times have changed, because when you guys were in college, or at least in school,
right after the Civil War for Fred.
Yeah.
Your words. But, you know, there was a time where it was celebrated.
Free typewriter.
You know, that's free right. thinking. You know, everybody's free to disagree and all that stuff. There was a time where stuff like this was embraced, or at least people were open to it versus hostile. Today, it's completely, if you do not agree with me, I hate your guts, and I'm going to call you names and put you in categories in which you don't belong.
Well, listen. These groups and some of these individuals that I would call far left politically, mm-hmm. I make fun of Chris and it comes
I
right
smell
back.
What you're stepping in.
No, it's karma.
Ideologically speaking.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm.
I got you.
They, not all of them, but a growing percentage of these people in these groups, they believe violence against people like us, our Turning Point USA, which is Charlie Kirk's organization, mm-hmm. is an acceptable response mm-hmm. because they say we, conservative Christians, namely, and just conservatives generally, are Nazis. Okay. So they call us Nazis. They say we're hate groups. And so, therefore, your people are justified to commit acts of violence against these people to stop them. That's a real problem. Mm-hmm. But you might say, well, Tim, you want to give me some evidence for that? Yes, I will. About 3 or 4 years ago, we had a situation where a man who supported Bernie Sanders and was a follower of the Southern Poverty Law Center went to a baseball field in Washington, D.C. area, and he wanted to murder all the Republican congressmen. He did start shooting. We all have known that story before.
Yes.
We've heard that story before.
Steve Scalise got seriously injured.
Okay. That was a far lefty acting violently against conservatives or Republicans.
Yes.
All right. Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Senate for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. We remember about a year and a half ago or so, 2 years ago, whenever it was. He made a personal appearance on the steps of the Supreme Court of the United States, and he verbally threatened, he said, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, you'll never know what hit you.
You'll
reap the whirlwind. What did you say?
Yeah, what you just said.
I quoted him, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He didn't even call them justices, or we disagree, or this is a bad decision. No, he was making a verbal, which could very easily be interpreted as a physical threat, Ray, to Kavanaugh and, okay, there's example number two. These are just examples coming to the top of my head. Mm-hmm. You had over the summer, after the Roe versus Wade decision was overturned, Dodd, you had the man traveling from California, got to Justice Kavanaugh's house, was carrying a gun with the intention of murdering him and I guess his family. Was stopped, I think called himself in. I think he maybe came to his senses and realized I gotta be stopped. I don't know what happened there exactly. But the intent was to go and murder him. And we remember the FBI wouldn't put security out there in front of the homes. Do I remember that story right? Maybe it wasn't the FBI, maybe it was the Department of Justice.
Well, the thing was,
or they did, or
it's
what?
Against the law to intimidate a justice,
right?
But
a federal law.
But the attorney general basically said they have a right to protest. That's not the issue. There is a law that says you cannot intimidate justices.
Yeah, and we had these protesters out in front of the houses of these justices.
Yes,
and the White House, the Democrats are going, it's a free speech case. Okay. You had Maxine Waters, the congresswoman from California. We were, remember she was caught on video. This is about 4 or 5 years ago, 4 years ago or so, mm-hmm. saying, you talking to people. She said, you need to find these Trump officials and get up in their face
mm-hmm.
and embarrass them and shout them down. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, encouraging physical altercations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what the situation was for sure with this transgendered woman who shot the Christian school up in Nashville and killed those four people, because the FBI is yet to release the manifesto, right?
Right.
Or the motivation for her. I don't
and we wonder
nobody
why.
Nobody can explain.
I don't know why they're withholding that. Sounds like to me they're trying to hope this story goes away. That's what it appears. And so they don't have to blame her motivation for hating Christians. But nonetheless, she went in there. It appears the motivation was to go after Christian, mm-hmm. a Christian school.
Yep.
What does the White House do? They issue a statement. Now, they may have condemned the killings, but they, like a day later, they go, the White House says, Karine Jean-Pierre, what does she say in response to the, she says, our hearts go out to the trans community because they're under attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I could continue on with more examples. The attack on Riley Gaines the other day at the San Francisco State University. Physically, she's held in a closet.
Two or three hours?
Yeah.
It was a harrowing experience.
Right.
And one guy in a dress hit her two times on the head. You don't see any, there's no universal condemnation of this by the left-wing media or left-wing groups, do you?
No.
No, you don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that had been a liberal who was attacked by a conservative group, it would be 24/7.
Right.
Okay, you might say, well, why is that? Because, as back to my original point from 7 minutes ago, and yes, I can talk 7 minutes if I need to without oxygen, but these, Jane Fonda goes on The View 2 weeks ago. How do you respond to pro-life people? And she says, well, I think you need to murder them. And the nervous laughter from The View, and they said, oh, you're joking, right?
No.
Did you watch Jane Fonda's reaction to you're joking?
I just posted.
She wasn't joking.
No.
She batted her eyes like, you think I'm kidding? Now, she, like a day or two later, said I was speaking in jest or something like that. Just kind of clean up my mess. The other day, Bruce Springsteen's guitar compatriot.
Van Zant.
Yes. This guy's a legendary guitarist. Stephen Van Zant. I mean, he is a legendary guitarist. I mean, he's known in the music world far and wide. He says that we need to exterminate Republicans.
Right.
Okay. You think he's going to be kicked off, Bruce Springsteen, or canceled? No, because, wow, the liberal media agrees with him,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them. So I'm just saying we're living in perilous and dangerous times. We're on the verge of some chaos because there's going to be some people who aren't going to take it. You know, Christians and conservatives basically are forgiving people, and they don't like violence, and they don't like chaos, they don't like threatening people. But also, they don't like being the recipients of said activity. And I'm just saying there's some coming clashes, I regret to say, if this continues. But I just gave you, just off the top of my head, about 7 or 8 examples of how the left in this country, they think they're justified in physically attacking conservatives because we're Nazis. That's how they justify it.
Yep.
All right, we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.